Thank you, Sam, for leading us in those great songs. You know, I'm afraid that in today's world that many of us had rather be more concerned as to whether or not we were on someone's Christmas list than whether or not we were on the roll that is to be called up yonder in heaven. You know, I hope this morning that all of us have a great appreciation for Christ and for all that our Master has done for us. And how grateful we ought to be for Christ our Lord. And as I mentioned last week, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the Christ. Too oftentimes, we talk about a lot of things, but never about the one who made our salvation possible and the one who came to redeem us. And Christmas, as I said last week, is not really about jingle bells and reindeers and Santa and his sleigh, but it rather is about our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the great characters in what we call the nativity scene is the mother of our Lord. Now, a lot of people honor Mary in the sense that they pray to her. They magnify her in ways that the Bible did not teach. But I do believe that Mary was honored of God. And this morning, I want to share with you a few thoughts about her life. You know, John Denver, a number of years ago, wrote a song about his wife, and it was called Annie's Song. And in that song, it depicted the great love that he had for his wife. But this morning, I want to talk about Mary's song. It was her thoughts to her cousin Elizabeth, who bare John the Baptist. Mary was a young woman, and the events that surrounded her giving birth to the Christ child was prophesied 700 years, actually, before it took place. She was a young woman. Isaiah had prophesied in the 7th chapter of the book of Isaiah in verse 14 that a young virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Some people have just said that the word virgin there ought to be left out and it just should be that a young woman. And many translations have remove that word virgin, but we know that the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ was indeed a virgin. She had not known a man. Jesus came today into our world because God blessed his mother, Mary. But you know, Mary said in the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed me strength with his arm, and hath scattered the proud within the imagination of their own hearts. And he hath put down the mighty from their seats, and hath exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and he hath sent the rich away empty." When you read this text, this whole text about Mary and her song, there are a number of things that just immediately come to the top. And one of them is, first of all, that she says, "I'm going to magnify God." But what was she going to magnify? I think more than anything else, according to what she says here in this text, and Luke records, it is that she was going to magnify God's unconditional grace. Do you know the Bible says that the word magnify, and of course we all understand what a magnifying glass is. You and I ought to be a magnifying glass. We ought to be magnifying Jesus in our life. Paul said on one occasion, he said, "I doth magnify the Lord God in my life." And you and I ought to be magnifying Jesus. That is, what we ought to be doing is calling attention not to ourselves, but to Jesus. We ought to magnify him. We are to enlarge upon him. But you know, in today's world, and when we think about Christmas even, we downplay the idea of Jesus. Many people have thought it proper to take Christ out of Christmas. Some people have said, don't use the word Christ. Just talk about Santa Claus, or talk about happy holidays, or perhaps winter holidays, but don't talk about Jesus. Now, a lot of people get alarmed about that. One of the articles that's making its way over the internet as we speak is actually a fictional letter entitled A Letter from Jesus About Christmas. I want to share this with you because even though it perhaps, and even we know it's not from Jesus, it is perhaps the sentiment of our Lord when you read the Bible. Let me share it with you this morning in passing. It has come to my attention that many of you are upset that folks are taking my name out of the season. How I personally feel about this celebration can probably be most easily understood by those of you who have been blessed with children of your own. I don't care what you call the day. If you want to celebrate my birth, just get along and love one another. Now, having said that, let me go on. If it bothers you that in the town in which you live, that they do not allow a scene depicting my birth and just get rid of a couple of the Santas and snowmen and put in a small nativity scene on your own front lawn. And if my followers did that, there wouldn't be any need for such a scene on the town square because there would be many of them all around town. Stop worrying about the fact that people are calling the tree a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree. For it was I who made all of the trees. You can remember me. Anything you see, remember me, even if it is a tree. You could decorate a grapevine if you wish. I actually spoke of that one time in teaching a lesson, explaining who I am in relation to you and what each of our tasks are. If you have forgotten that one, look up John 15, 1 through 8. And if you want to give me a present in remembrance of my birth, here is my wish list. Choose something from it. Number one, instead of writing protest letters objecting to the way my birthday is being celebrated, write letters of love and hope to soldiers away from home. They are terribly afraid and lonely this time of year. I know that because they tell me all the time. If you'd like to do something else in honor of my desire, visit someone in a nursing home. You don't have to know them personally. They just need to know that someone cares about them. Instead of giving your children a lot of gifts you can't afford and they don't need, spend time with them. Tell them the story of my birth and why I came to live down here upon earth. Hold them in your arms and remind them that I love them. Pick out someone that has hurt you in the past and forgive him or her. And did you know that someone in your town will attempt to take their own life this season because they feel so alone and hopeless? And since you don't know who that person is, try giving everyone you meet a warm smile, for it could make a difference in their life. And instead of nitpicking about what the retailer in your town calls a holiday, be patient with the people who work there. Give them a warm smile and a kind word, even if they aren't allowed to wish you a Merry Christmas. That doesn't keep you from wishing them one. Then stop shopping there on Sunday. If the store didn't make so much money on that day, they'd close and let their employees spend the day at home with their families. And if you really want to make a difference, support a missionary. Especially one who takes my love and good news to those who have never heard my name. Here's a good one. There are individuals and whole families in your town who will have no Christmas tree, but neither will they have presents, neither will they be able to give or receive. If you don't know them, buy food and a few gifts and give to them. Finally, if you want to make a statement about your belief and loyalty in me as the Son of God, then behave like a Christian. Don't do things in secret that you wouldn't do in my presence. Let people know by your actions that you are one of mine. It may not have come from Jesus, but I can tell you it surely would be the sentiment found in his word. Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Mary is called in verse 28 of that text the highly favored one. That means that she was pursued with grace. Have you ever wondered why God chose Mary to bear Jesus? He didn't choose her because she was rich, nor did he choose her because she was poor. He didn't choose her because she had great influence on the people around her. He didn't choose her because she was a somebody or that she was well known in the community. But she was an obscure Jewish woman. Do you know, just as God pursued Mary, he pursues each of us every day. He does by his grace. The Bible says that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness we should be soberly and live that way and righteously in this present world. Did you know, when you think about the grace of God, and it is a gift of God, if you really stop and think about it, did you know that grace has nothing at all to do with your prestige? It has nothing to do at all with your past. It has nothing to do with who you are. It does. She says, "My soul will magnify the Lord because of his grace." And Paul in Philippians 1:20 says, "He'll be magnified in my body and in my spirit, and therefore will I rejoice." I like what David said in the Old Testament in the 34th chapter in verse 5 when he says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." You know what that really means? It means that we present Christ to those around us. When we're magnifying Jesus, we get out of the picture and we're really pushing Jesus to the front. We are. But many of us think not of Jesus, we think only of self. Mary did not. She thought of his grace. But she also said, "I will magnify his unending mercy." If you read that text, you'll find it says that the mercy of God will endure from generation to generation because of Jesus. From generation to generation. 8 times she begins to talk about what God has done for her in the text. Think about it. Grace and mercy. In the book of Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Have you ever thought about it? When you get out of bed in the morning, the mercy of God is resting upon you. His grace has been given and you don't get what you deserve in life. That is what mercy is. You and I have so much more than what we deserve in this world. We often talk about people in distant lands not having much at all and how many of them are destitute and they're going hungry. Have you ever thought about the fact that you don't have to worry about that? Every day when you get out of bed, you'll eat breakfast. You'll eat at lunch. You'll eat something. You'll eat at supper because God has been so good to you, and we often take that for granted every day. You know what? I think probably in the day of judgment it will blow our minds. It really will, how good God has been to us. You know, every day God spares your life because of his mercy. Consider that. Have you ever thought about that? Every day you go without harm because of the mercy of God. You don't get what you deserve. Every day. You'll find out probably in the day of judgment how God stepped in. Maybe when you were getting ready to have an accident or maybe someone was getting ready to rob you, or maybe someone was getting ready to molest you or hurt you in some way, that God stepped in and he rescued you. No wonder Mary says, "My soul will magnify the Lord." The Bible says in the book of Romans 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us to keep us from going to hell. His mercy. But then Mary makes another statement when she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." I think she is saying that my soul magnifies the unending faithfulness of God. Do you know one of the names of Jesus is faithful? Now, he's called a lot of things in the Bible. He's called the Son of God. He's called the Christ, the Anointed of God. He is called the Bread of Life. He is called the Water of Life in John 4. He is called by many things, the Great Shepherd. But one of his names is that of Faithful, and it is an appropriate name because God is faithful. We live in a world today where people are unfaithful. Husbands are unfaithful to their wives. Wives are unfaithful to their husbands. Children are unfaithful to their parents, and parents are unfaithful to their children. Employees are unfaithful to their employer. And yet the Bible says that God is faithful. And his Son is faithful. He is called the Faithful and the True. Sometimes it looks in this world as though injustice overrides justice, but it doesn't. It looks as though the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It looks like unfairness overrides fairness and what is just, but it doesn't. I know it doesn't because God is faithful. He is a faithful God. That's why he wants us to be faithful to him. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, "To be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We live in a world today, Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." We live in a world around us today, and even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, sadly enough, we magnify everything. We magnify the imperfections of one another. We magnify the failings of a brother or a sister in Christ, but we do not magnify Jesus. Sometimes we wallow in self-pity. We lay in the bed of bitterness, and we rob ourselves of the joy that God wants us to have. You know, there couldn't be a more beautiful song than the song of Mary. When she says, "I will magnify the Lord in my life." And that she does. Have you ever stopped to think about your own life and what you're doing with your life? Are you magnifying Jesus? Does the world really know that you're a child of God? Do they know that you belong to him? They should. Every day that we live before the world around us, we ought to live in such a way as to glorify Christ and to honor him. That's what Mary did. What a tremendous example that she left for us. And we ought to be leaving the example for our children, for brethren, for those in the world around us that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we leave Jesus off the list. You know, I've often thought, you know, the one that ought to be on the very top of our Christmas list ought to be Jesus, shouldn't it? Sometimes we want to make sure we get there, or perhaps maybe the children want to make sure they're there. Someone said I had the nicest Christmas list. It was the longest one in town, till Daddy looked at it and said, "You'll have to cut it down." I knew that what he said was true beyond the faintest doubt, but was amazed to hear him say, "Why, you've left your best friend out." And so I scanned my list again and said, oh, that's not true. But Daddy said, his name's not there, that friend who died for you. And then I clearly understood 'twas Jesus that he meant, for him who should come first of all. Well, I hadn't planned a cent. But oh, it did not take me long to change that list about. And though I've had to drop some names of folks I like a lot, my Lord must have the most because his name is at the top. You know, sometimes we forget Jesus. We do. We forget him throughout the year, but we often forget him during the holidays as well. People will minimize their giving to the Lord and to the kingdom of God during the holidays, and we buy for other people instead of thinking about Jesus and that we ought to continue to give to him and honor him and magnify him in all that we do. You know, the best way this morning that you can honor Jesus is by becoming a Christian. And you could be in this audience this morning, and you may not be a child of God. And there's no way you'll ever magnify him until you become his child. And the plan of God is very simple. It certainly is not consistent with the plan of the world, but it is the plan of God. And that means that we must believe in him with all of our heart. And not just believe in him, but believe on him. Believe that what he said is true. Believe him to be the Son of God. Believe him to be born of a virgin. Believe him to be the prophesied Christ. Believe that he died and that he was raised on the third day, that you and I might be saved. That is the great gift of God. And then believe on his word. That teaches that if we honor him with our lips and we confess him as Lord, and with a penitent heart we yield our bodies to be buried with Christ in baptism, then we can be forgiven of our sin. And we can have the hope of heaven. There is no greater blessing than that, my friend. And that's the way that we begin to magnify Jesus. So I hope this morning that if you're not a Christian and you're not a child of God, and you'd think this morning in depth about your relationship with Christ, will your name be on heaven's roll? The Bible says that when we obey the Lord, that he adds our name to heaven's roll. Many have had their name added to the roll, to the Lamb's Book of Life, but many have walked away from God and have turned away from him. And their name has been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Maybe this morning you need to come back to Christ for renewal. You need to be forgiven of sin. You need to be forgiven because of the way that you have treated Jesus with your life. And you hadn't really lived before your fellow man as a child of God ought to live. And so this morning, I hope that as we sing this song of encouragement, that we'll all give great consideration to the way that we are and the way that we live. And as Sam comes to lead that song, I hope that we'll not think about someone else, but think about self. Think about us, where we are in our relationship to God, while we stand and while we sing.
Have you been to Jesus?
Thank you, Sam, and thank all of you for being here tonight. If you will.